Welcome to this episode of the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Browning, and joining me at... Brian? I can't even say my name.
What'd you say?
I don't know what I said! Brian! I'm so tired today. I had the most exhausting weekend. I'm still not recovered. Joining me, as always, is my... Oh, wait a minute. No, Jim's not... Jim! Fuck! Fuck! Who's gonna do the audio now? Oh, it's not gonna be me. Oh, shit. I don't know how to do this kind of thing. Jim isn't here, folks. Jim is at Disneyland right now.
Is he literally at Disneyland?
He is. He's in Florida right now. I'm not entirely sure why. It might have something to do with the game he's helping do community management and stuff on. IMs me yesterday. Oh, I might not be able to make it actually to the podcast because my wife wants to go to Disneyland and see the fireworks. I'm like, oh.
Oh wait, he's like literally going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
It's like I'm going to Disneyland. Like he's in like a Super Bowl commercial.
No, he's actually apparently at Disneyland today.
Wow.
So yeah. So yeah, it's just me. Hopefully. There'll be an audio version of this because I really don't know how to do that, so I'm going to try and figure it out. So if the audio sucks this week, it's my fault, not Jim's. But we have two guests with us this week joining us from I don't know where you guys are. I'll ask you as I introduce you. Carmine Gaida.
Yes.
Where are you calling? You're in New York, right?
I'm in New York City. I'm right in the middle of town. I can see the Empire State Building out my window if I lean really hard against
You're in the second best city in the country, as everyone else in LA would say, because we hate you. No, we don't. We just think you're not as cool. And joining us from somewhere is Eric Paywall. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually in California as well.
Oh, where in California?
Northern, up near Travis Air Force Base.
I have no idea where that is.
Ah, that's fine.
I'm a transplant, as are most Californians. So I've only been to a select part of the state. Parts of the state. But that's awesome. So we're here to talk about a spacey bridge simulator called Quintet. Carmine is the creator and developer, and Eric is a Kickstarter backer who eventually became a member of the team. And let's talk about kind of the history of the game.
Sure.
So this game's been around for a few years now, right? At least.
It's been about 2 years. Yeah. Maybe about 2 years and a couple of months. So essentially, this is Carmine. I've been a Star Trek fan forever.
Sure.
I watched the original series, and I, saw Next Generation when it was on TV, and Deep Space Nine when it aired, and I anxiously awaited Enterprise, and heard that theme song when it came out originally, also, and all that kind of stuff. So, I have been a programmer for a very long time, also, and I wanted to make. I'm not really good at games. I'm not great at playing games. I'm like terrible at first-person shooter type games, and I wanted to make a co-op game, So I started creating Quintet, which I built in Unity, and it I essentially kind of began with just a couple of. It's pretty funny my project, like my folder for the game, is just called Space Game. originally, it's still called Space Game. Like I have to rename it to Quintet. Originally I had the helm, maybe tactical and engineering. I didn't have science or captain yet. I had kind of two ships in the beginning, and I didn't have a name yet. So originally I was like, I want to make a co-op game and where everyone's on the same ship and they have to kind of work together. So that was kind of my initial idea for making the game. And I had a first version. I eventually decided on the name Quintet, made up five stations. And then I ended up having kind of an initial release of the game, and that had maybe a handful of missions and maybe two or three ships at the time. And then a couple of months after that, I ended up having a Kickstarter for the game, and the reason I needed the Kickstarter was to pay for the Unity licenses that I needed in order. So the game, you know, the game uses, like, you know, sockets and all this multiplayer stuff. And to do that type of things, you need the pro version of Unity, you know.
Oh.
So I did the Kickstarter to raise money for these licenses, and the Kickstarter did very well. I originally wanted like $1,800. I ended up getting about $7,000, which is fantastic. And in the end, I ended up using all the Kickstarter funds to like have more ships. Now there's 25 ships, you know. So I used a lot of it to like get music and get artwork and all this kind of stuff, and I was able to really flesh out the game even more. You know, I was able to like not build websites for a couple months so I could work on the game, you know, so I could work on the game, you know. And it was really great. In the process of that Kickstarter, I also met Eric, who's with us, who found me because of your podcast 2 years ago. When you mentioned the game or on your website, you would kind of have that kind of paragraph with all the links to the different games and stuff like that. You know, it's kind of the older incarnation of your site, I guess.
Right.
You know. And from then, the game is something, you know, it's my baby, and I work on it all the time, always adding new features. You know, I get a lot of great feedback from the players and ideas from them. And I, of course, break the game. Eric is fantastic at finding problems with my AI, you know, like, it's kind of, the game just kind of evolves on its own. Like I kind of add stuff that I like to, I think is cool. I see what works and doesn't work, and you know, I just wanted to create something that I can, you know, play with friends every week, you know, and have a good time doing it, you know.
Yeah, and I see. It's funny, you seem to do a game every week, but you kind of do it nowish, if I recall.
Yeah, we do Tuesdays. It keeps going back and forth. Monday, Tuesdays. I did. I'll probably be on Mondays for a while. I had to switch because I was taking an improv comedy class on Monday, so I had to switch to Tuesdays. And then I'm kind of back to Mondays now. So this worked out totally perfectly. We switched back like a week or so ago, and this was on Tuesday. It was totally cool.
Well, the reason I asked you guys on, and Eric will talk to you in a second. The reason I asked you guys on is because I never got to play this because, you know, you need multiple people. And I tried to get people together. Tried. And so I had a birthday party this past weekend. You know what? I said, you know what? I'm going to freaking do this as a part of my birthday party.
Sure,
you know, because why not?
Yeah, sure.
And so I'll be honest, I weighed the pros and cons between you and Artemis, because, you know, there's Artemis. Let's not ignore that. But your apps are all free and stuff, which was a big part of it. And also your interface seems to be a little prettier and more streamlined.
Yeah. I wanted the game is kind of not complicated on purpose. So when I add things, it's so funny, you know, whenever I get tons of suggestions for features, and
right.
I want to add features that add depth but not complexity. So that's kind of like been my mantra, is like, you know, how can I add depth but not complexity? You know, so I've added new things to science and things for engineering. I've actually moved things between different stations, you know, from where they were originally. And that's kind of been my philosophy, is I don't want to create a complicated game. I do want to have a game that has depth. Like, I don't want a game that's two-dimensional. You know, Quintet's very three-dimensional. You can move in three dimensions. You can roll and rotate, you know.
Right.
I want to have a game that's very three-dimensional and has a lot of depth to it. But, you know, at the same time, my other philosophy is, you know, one of the most amazing things was when I was at Gen Con recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to watch probably about at least 100 people play Quintet in a weekend, right?
Wow.
And the most amazing and almost frustrating but beautiful experience. If you've ever made a game and you watch people play your game, number one, I was like, this is awesome. Like, seeing people play something I've made for like an hour and like loving it and wanting to come back, that's great. And sometimes you see people playing and you're like, why are you not pushing that button? It is like literally, not figuratively, it is literally blinking and saying, press me, you know, and they're not pressing it, you know? And I got to see a lot of people play the game. And I could see, you know, if someone's playing and they start taking out their phone and texting someone, something is wrong, you know? And if they're playing and they're spending more time being confused than playing, then to me that's not, you know. So,
right.
You know, I've been a web designer for, I've designed web pages a very long time. And mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to keep things very streamlined. I want the on-ramping of new players to be very quick.
Yeah.
I want fun to happen immediately. And at the same time, you know, with these kinds of games, you know, the fun happens, you know, between the chairs, you know. The fun happens, like, between our headsets, you know. Like,
right.
the game is fun, but I also should facilitate the fun that we have either in person or between our chairs or over our headsets or whatever it is. You know, that's kind of like where the fun is, you know, to me also.
Right. And I just wanted to say we had a great time. I was only able to get three people. Mm-hmm. So it was me and two other people. And, like, it was great to pick up. People picked it up pretty easily. I tested it out with my girlfriend, who is a non-gamer, complete non-gamer. And even she enjoyed it on her and I gotta say the platform, it's like platform agnostic. Is that how you say it?
Yeah,
you can play it on freaking everything. Which is really impressive. And, now, how do you keep this free? Is that what the Kickstarter was all about?
Well, it's not entirely. I mean, it's not entirely. Well, so basically, you can play for free, and you can play like the first chunk of a lot of the missions. Mm-hmm. And but there are other missions and parts of the game which you have to pay for. But you can play for hours and hours and hours, and nothing will pop up and say, you know, hey, buddy, you know, first one's free. but there are, like, a lot of these other missions that we play where, like, you know, you need to pay to play them. What I did recently in my most recent version is I made it so that if someone who has paid is playing a scenario where that you need to, you know, it's like an upgrade only thing, you can still join their ship. You just can't captain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't think space games, I don't think, you know, indie space games is going to make anyone independently wealthy, you know? I'm excited that my hobby pays for itself. You know,
nice.
The people who pay, $5 here, $25 here or there. Whenever we do these Monday night things, I always get like a boost, you know, of people upgrading and doing stuff and being like, hey, that fun I had was totally worth my $5, you know?
And when people upgrade, that's just a one-time thing.
Yeah, it's a one-time thing. And what's great is it's tied to your account. So if you happen to be on your Windows machine and upgrade your account that you log in with, then when you go to your iOS device and log in with the same account,
right,
you know, your account is upgraded. So you don't need to, like, pay $5 for iOS, pay $5. Like, to me, if that would piss me off if someone
absolutely.
So, you know, I play games, just, you know, I make a game and I play games. So I want to, like, treat my players like I would want to be treated if I was a player, which I am, you know. And stuff like that. So that's kind of like my philosophy with that. So I'm not like looking to become independently wealthy from like making a space game. To me, like, if I can go to one of these conventions and see a ton of people play my game, like, that's awesome. If I like leave not spending money, that's great. You know, I'm ecstatic. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's cool for me. It's just kind of my feeling and stuff about that, you know?
Right. But, so the Kickstarter, you said, went really well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Because we get a lot of people on who have done Kickstarters and are in the middle of Kickstarters. And it's sad to see several have failed. Why do you think yours was such a success? I mean, you did a great job. I followed it. I backed it, obviously.
Yeah.
You did a great job, but I'd like to hear what you think
Was the case. You know, I'm more than happy to give advice to other people trying to do Kickstarters, and I'll tell you what was very interesting is what I did, I think, that helped mine is I went to the search box on Kickstarter and tried to find my own Kickstarter, right? Mm. And I tried typing what I would search for. So I put up the Kickstarter, right?
That's smart.
And then I went to the search box, and I'm like, let me type space game. Let me type sci-fi. Let me type... And you know what was really random? What I did was so funny. Originally, my title was Quintet for Android, and then I ended up saying, like, Quintet, Space Game, Sci-Fi, whatever it was. So I spelt sci-fi one way in my title, and I spelt sci-fi a different way in the description.
Oh, with and without the hyphen?
Without the hyphen, with a space, and without, the, you know. So, ooh. And I realized that the search box on Kickstarter was immediate. The change was immediate. Like, if I went to my description, not, I don't mean the long description, I mean the short one. So people who are listening, who are doing Kickstarters, that little short text box and your title, you should, I mean, don't be, like, obnoxious about it. But, you know, it makes, instead of saying Quintet Space Game as your title, you should write Quintet, a sci-fi space party game or something like that, you know. Mm. Like, you know, like, you should, that is a perfectly great area to get some keyword traction, you know, and some, you get a lot of mileage out of that title and description. And I think a lot of people like the idea, like my video was kind of fun. It was actually a friend of mine's idea to do the video with us kind of in regular clothes and us kind of in these outfits and stuff, you know, and I got those outfits. I went to like a store and spent like, you know, $5 and, you know, got a bunch of t-shirts and whatever and whipped it up. But, the other thing is 70% of my funds came from people discovering me on Kickstarter. So what I also did was I funded other space games Kickstarters. So I went around to like a handful of them and I put down, you know, $10 or whatever it is, you know? And then what happened is people would back one game, and then after they backed another game, it would say, people who backed this also backed, you know? Oh. So I actually got some people who backed my game because they saw me as people who backed this also backed, right? So I got a little bit of mileage out of that also. So in the end, you know, blasting the thing on Kickstarter, blasting the thing on Facebook and Twitter didn't really do a lot for me at all. The majority of it was Kickstarter itself.
Oh. And because, yeah, it did really well, and it was really nice to see. Because it was humble, too. That's one thing I liked about it. You know, it wasn't too flashy. It was just kind of honest. You know, it was just kind of upfront, which I really liked.
Thanks. Yeah, I was being very sincere. You know, I mean, I was like, this is my thing that I love to do, you know, and I want to go further with it, you know. That was exactly my attitude and my, you know, thing with it.
And now, Eric, this is kind of where you come in.
Indeed.
And so you were a Kickstarter backer that eventually became part of the team. How did that evolve?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. As Carmine had mentioned, I'd found Quintet through your site when you had announced, hey, these are some of the spacey games that are up on Kickstarter right now. And I saw it. I wanted to back it. I did, at the Trio level, in fact. And at the time, the Trio level was something that was going to be a Kickstarter backer-only thing, that anyone who backed at the $20 or higher level would get access to the Trio ship.
Right.
And I thought, hey, that's great. The Trio sounds like it'll be a fun ship to fly. And it turns out that it's the type of ship that I fly the most as I play. Now, when I joined the Kickstarter, I started to give little bits of feedback here and there. The game was already playable. There was the download available already. So I thought, okay, well, I have nothing really to lose. It's a game that I can have fun with and play with other people. How could you go wrong with that?
Right.
Well, yeah. Plenty of games have gone wrong with that. Let me just put it that way. But with this game, with one guy doing all the development, hey, I want to support this guy as an indie dev. And then one of the other backers, who is also a member of the team, Dennis, he's the one who runs our TeamSpeak server. We started to get together almost every week. We would get together and play the game, and then afterward, some of us would just hang out and talk about, well, these are some of the bugs that I found, or these are some of the things that I would like to see in the game. And between that, Dennis, I basically joined the team, and now we're this triumvirate of awesome, as I like to think of it. It works out pretty well. It does. We bring our different strengths to the game and to the missions that we create and the ship balancing and all of that.
Well, let's try this thing now. Now here's, I have a question. It says you guys have 12.4. I have 12.3.
Yeah, it'll work fine.
Okay.
We're on like a beta. Like I said, I'm always adding new stuff. So, I'm in the process of adding some more features to let people make their own custom scenarios.
Oh, nice!
And it's getting pretty amazing. Like, you know, you can spawn ships and you can give them like actions that happen when they die or when you kill them, and you can like, you know, tell the ships what to do, and you can group them and tell them to go different places, follow waypoints, or attack different targets. And there's like all this kind of crazy stuff you can do now. I basically want to make it so that any player could essentially duplicate and improve upon any scenario I have made, you know. So anything that's built into the, you know, my goal is that anything I've built into the game, you can, you know, you should be able to make yourself and even better. Like, I've even started to make better versions of my own scenarios I've had, you know, because I have all this new stuff. So the newer stuff that we have in our little version we're playing with is just stuff like that. It's just updates on that stuff, you know.
Well, why don't you start a ship and then I'll join a station?
All right, cool.
I have the game windowed so it could be in a smaller resolution because that might be better for the stream. And I was on the view screen for the monarchy there, and it was really stuttery. I don't know if that's my internet because I'm streaming.
I think it's the combination of the Twitch stream plus the Skype. Plus, if you're recording locally.
I'm not recording locally.
Okay.
Well, hopefully it'll work out better with the three of us.
All right, cool. Maybe we'll do us versus these nine ships.
Works for me.
Swarm of nine. It's a fun little scenario.
Yeah, I tried that the other day. That was enjoyable. Since there were only three of us, we had to use the trio pretty much exclusively.
I'm going to fly. Why don't you go on tactical, Brian?
Okay.
And Eric, why don't you multitask between science and engineering?
How can one do that?
This is a specialty of mine, actually.
You ever see Farscape?
No, I've not.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool. Okay.
Oh, we're going to have to drone one. Target drone one.
Got it.
All right. Fire when ready.
Now, Brian, you can use the 1, 2, and 3 keys for the torpedoes. You can also hold the space bar, and that will fire everything at once. But you may want to have a lock on before you do that.
What are we targeting now? 3?
Drone 3, yeah. You can hit the... if you look at in a target list, you can actually sort by distance.
Oh, okay, right.
That might help out a little bit. There you go.
Oh, the 1, 2, 3 is nice. Oh, this thing has two torpedoes.
Yep. There you go. Beautiful. This cruiser is next. The cruiser can cloak. This ship has an ability to disrupt the cloak of the other ship, so we have a nice counter. A lot of the races will have counters for some of the other races and stuff like that. So we get ready to target this cruiser. He's cloaked.
He's cloaked.
Eric,
now you can see his...
You can still see him. There you go. Okay.
I've disrupted his cloak.
Ooh, very nice.
Firing. Don't be shy. There you go. Don't get shy, it's now, Brian. Keep firing on this guy.
Draining shields.
All right, cool.
Very nice. Yeah, you can tell you guys have done this before.
I'm actually the benchmark for most of the scenarios. As in, if I can't take it with the trio solo, it's probably too hard.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Some of these guys are probably better than me at the they're kind of better than me at playing this game, actually.
That's good, though.
They have like strategies. I'm like, you guys have strategies? Like, my strategy is, you know,
shoot it until it dies. Basically.
All right, Joan 4 is next. Get that clicky keyboard working. Beautiful.
That's right.
Fighter 2 is next.
We're gonna run here.
Whoop.
So I did get one question while we're playing this. Is there going to be a way to do like an open universe where you get missions and like have to escort diplomats and stuff like that? Because there is an open world, but we're never really clear as to what's going on there.
Okay, so there is, you know, it's funny. A couple things. I have something called open space where you can just fly around and go to places.
Right.
And originally I had some missions in there. But I eventually ended up bringing some of those missions to the main menu. It just kind of, it just depends on like how many players I had on, and like that stuff working well or not is kind of really based on the players and experience and all that stuff. There's also this thing called Project Quintet, which was developed by one of the players of this game.
Oh.
His name is Lance Lake, and basically. Quintet has these hooks in it, and it sends out things like people created a ship, people destroyed a ship, and that kind of thing. So he has on his own web server a database that has players on it and stats, and like they can customize ships and do all of this stuff, and the Quintet can hook into all of those kinds of things. So that is something that someone built. It's called Project Quintet, and if you go to projectquintet.com, you can check it out. And what's upcoming is this customizable stuff for players, where players can nice, good work everybody. Where like I said, the customizable things is let players make up their own scenarios,
which is great.
So for instance, so Eric has designed a scenario that will take about like 45 minutes to play. Most of these are 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know. So players can design their own stuff also. So definitely, if you're interested in something very open worldy, check out the Project Quintet thing. If you're curious about making up your own scenarios, go to the Quintet website and log into your account, and you can play around with creating your own scenarios.
I should mention here that you do need to have an upgraded account in order to do that.
Yes,
but that's a $5 purchase, and as we mentioned, it's a permanent upgrade to your account.
Yeah.
Project Quintet, do you use your Quintet login?
Yes, yeah, same thing.
Oh, okay.
I think it'll work.
Should definitely try that.
So you want to try another mission? Or
yeah, do it, man.
Want to talk shop or?
Well, let's do one more. You can keep talking shops. Now, this is in Unity, you said.
Yeah, I built the game using Unity 3D.
And does that make it... Oh, we have a couple of guests online. I wonder who they are. I wonder if they're people who are watching the podcast or not. I see two guests. Yeah, let's do another scenario.
Cool, sure. Maybe we can do... Well, that one's really, really hard. Let's do... let's do the incoming with the torpedoes.
Okay.
Oh, I avoided that one. It reminded me of the Ender mission that I really hate. With the cloak.
I know how you hate escort missions, Brian, but...
Well, doesn't everybody...
This game aren't so bad.
doesn't everybody... I mean, who likes
escort
missions? I don't know. But, I mean, there's this... Jim and I talk about this mission in, I think it was Wing Commander 3, with the cloak torpedoes. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was awful. Yeah.
I played the first Wing Commander. I don't think I played the...
Dude, next time they're on sale on GOG, just get them all. Seriously, they're worth playing even today. Okay,
I'll use a Zerna. So there's different races that have different, you know, humans are kind of like our baseline. We have the Zerna, which are very fast ships. The Vool are very have more weapon abilities, and then Centaur has they're kind of more engineering-y focused, so that they have all these drones you can spawn. And mines and stuff like that, and like the drones will go and fight and stuff. And then the Udu are more sciencey and have like a lot of really weird abilities and stuff like that. I'm gonna take out this yellow ship. It's like the fastest, not the fastest. It's a fast.
I want to try another thing. So like maybe helm or engineering or.
Why don't you take engineering?
Okay.
Alright, I'll take tactical.
Alright, so we need to take care of these torpedoes that are incoming here.
Right.
That's the name coming. So on engineering, if you're looking to... Oh, someone grab my helm.
Okay, so I see in the engineering screen, it looks like I can do little buffs for certain things.
Right. So, one sec, I'm under attack here. Boost the engines in the top right to thrust.
Okay, got it.
And we have cloak on this ship, right?
Yes.
Hit cloak. Thank you.
Got it.
All right, so we're going to head towards this torpedo.
Any other buffs? I think I can do one or two more, right?
Okay, What other ability do you have on there?
There's firewall is the other actual ability.
That's if we're fighting other players. Other players can hack you and drop our engines or drop our shield like temporarily, you know. So you can use that to protect us against a. I should have put a password on this ship. This guy joined our ship. Hey Spaz, can you hack this guy? I'll do it. So I'm gonna basically hack this torpedo's engines, so it will actually it will temporarily disable its engines. It'll sit still for a little bit.
Oh, nice. Then that works on any ship, not just players.
Yeah, you can use it on anything. And then this ship has this push ability, that way I can push things and stuff. Let me switch to helm. Keep the torpedo boosted, and you can boost the.
Okay, I got the...
Yeah, so keep the weapons boosted right now.
I can only boost the damage on one of them, so...
That's fine. Boost it on the one torpedo.
Okay.
And maybe boost our... the recharge on the shields.
Done. This is nifty. So you're still kind of active. You're not just sitting there.
Right. And if you look at the... your repair panel is kind of the bottom...
Yeah.
So right now we're kind of in pursuit, so keep the thruster boosted. And then once we get within firing range, you can, instead of boosting our thruster, you can boost the
damage of the laser.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yes, you can boost one thing in each column.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we're going after torpedo 2, I see.
Yeah. We're making a break for it.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah. As engineer, you're kind of more focused on your own ship, where like on science, you're focused on other ships. So, that was a recent philosophy change we did, where we're like, let's move some things around to keep engineering, kind of focused on us, where other positions you're kind of focused on other things. So.
Right.
All right. I'm gonna switch to science, and I'm gonna drop this guy's engines. And what I can do is, for instance, we have a tractor beam. So
right.
I can actually use this tractor beam. So boost if you boost a tractor beam, for instance,
okay.
I can it's a force. I can pull this guy off track a bit from his destiny. And what's kind of neat, with a tractor beam, you can push and pull. So we could, for instance, get in front of this thing and push it back, or we can get behind it and pull it, you could push and pull ships into other ships, and there's other kind of fun stuff you could do. The Monarchy is here with us, helping out. He kind of made his own ship. What's great is, right now we're playing over the internet, so you can play this on the LAN also, but what's nice is, this other ship has joined us. The Monarchy, he's playing along with us now. He's fighting some bad guys.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah. We had recently, we were mentioned on this girl Kiwo's Twitch stream, and we had about 30-something people playing at one time. We had about maybe 18, we had about 12 to 18 ships, kind of depending on when, on what was going on. It was pretty amazing. Hey, can you boost the shields while we're traveling over there? Something is, our shields aren't...
Oh, yeah, the shields are on recharge.
Okay, good.
Let me do some repair. I'm boosting thrust, damage to first torpedo, and I've got shields on recharge.
Okay, awesome.
So you had about 30 people?
Yeah, we had about 30-something people at a time.
Wow.
And then that was, you know, I mean, sometimes we had five ships with five people each. Sometimes we had, like, 12 ships, and they had some solos, some trios, some quintets. You know, it was kind of spread across all these different ships. And it's pretty amazing when you have that many ships playing. So we have, like, you know, 12 player ships, and then we have a ton of bad guys. When there's that many ships, I can almost sit and watch the game like it's a movie. You know what I mean? There's just so much stuff happening. You know, people firing at things, and, you know, and the team speak was, like, out of control. Like, we were setting up different, you know, so we had a different macro set up so that we could message, so all the captains could all, so each ship had its own room in team speak, and then we all had a button so all the captains could all talk together. So, like, I could hold down a button and talk just to the captains and be like, okay, we're going to start, you know, we're going to head towards this target and do this, you know, and then you know, and then go back to my ship and, you know, and talk to my ship. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty great stuff.
That sounds pretty great.
Hey,
there was one point with that group of 30 that we actually had 18 ships going in one scenario.
Huh. Jeez.
And most of the scenarios here are designed for three or four ships tops, because the player base wasn't there yet. It's here now.
Yeah, and that's right. The thing is, I actually need to design new scenarios. You know, I never thought, oh, I need to design a scenario in case there's more than five players at a, you know, not, you know, five ships at a time. You know, now I'm like, wow, I need a seven ship scenario.
You need to get the cool.
I never. It's funny. It's like a funny new problem to have. You know.
I was gonna say you need to get to the Dominion War in there. That's what you need. You need that battle at the beginning of, what is it, season 5 of Deep Space Nine?
Oh, yeah.
Or the battle to take back the space station.
That's when they come back.
Yeah.
As it turns out, the fleet that Carmine and I have created is called the Niners.
Our group's called the Niners.
Isn't that the team Take Me Out to the Holosuite?
It is.
Yeah. That was my. All right, now that we got rid of these torpedoes, we just need to do some cleanup.
Right.
So let's go after Drone 3. Hello.
Now, this laser we're using is what we affectionately call the donut laser.
It is a
120 degree arc around the horizontal axis of the ship.
So I can keep moving and we can keep firing. Now, watch this. Ready? See how these guys are right next to this asteroid? I'm going to use this push force ability.
Oh, nice!
Totally blew up that bad guy. So, this ship has this push force, which, like, kind of emanates. You know, it's like a puff ball. It's like a force push and whatever. So you saw that bad guy was right next to an asteroid, and I used our ability to kind of, like, slam him into an asteroid. You know, really great stuff. You know, really cool. You have to, you know, you got to think three dimensionally sometimes here.
I just put some more damage to the beam laser. Since you seem to be using that more.
And if you're looking at the chat log right now, Drone 2 played Asteroids and lost.
I saw that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, he crashed. If you want to, Brian, you can switch to science, and we'll give you, like, a little intro to science.
How do I okay. I will switch to science.
Yeah.
I'm pushing the button and nothing's happening. Huh.
Is your switch not working?
Yeah, switch might not be. I wonder if it's because I'm in windowed mode.
No, it's happening to me as well. I tried switching over to helm for a moment, and I couldn't do that.
Okay. It works for me. Maybe something's going on funny with our.
Could be the network code again.
Yeah, let's just keep blasting. Fighting some bad guys.
I'm also getting a weird beeping noise. Beep 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 beep. I don't know what that is.
Is that one of our headsets?
Could be.
It's possible.
It could be the lock-on sound when I've locked on.
It's just ever present. I'll tell you when it turns. I'll tell you when it goes off.
Okay.
It, like, went off for like 10 seconds and then it came back. So I'm not sure what that is.
Okay.
Hey, bug fixing live on Twitch.
Live. let's
So do you have like a master control screen where you can control what's going on in any given scenario or anything like that? Or
I
like an
can.
admin screen of some
Yeah,
type?
I mean, if I can, I can spawn anything into a scenario. I can sometimes I can just give us more time. Like if we're playing a time scenario, I can add some more time. I can I can tell the I can destroy all the AI by typing some things. I can, I can change them all to attack or stop attacking. So I have some commands and stuff that I can use
Right.
and stuff like that. Sometimes it's great fun. Like instead of us playing like a scenario, sometimes we'll just go into one of these scenarios that are kind of empty, and I'll just keep spawning bad guys. Like I'll make it as ridiculous as possible, and see and see how we all do.
Right.
So yeah, I can spawn some things in and whatever. What's pretty funny is like I can spawn in a random. Let's spawn something in. But bring a red quintet in. There we go.
What is that? The
A Davul?
Davul?
Yeah. So he's a quintet, the red one. He's really slow, but he packs a punch.
Okay.
They're kind of like my Klingons, kind of,
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he's gonna get a chance to fight anything, though. We'll see. He's getting over here. There we go.
Oh, he's getting closer, slowly
Okay.
but surely.
His AI should make him attack the hive ships first.
How much work goes into the AI for these computer controlled
So see,
ships?
he's tractor pulling that. See,
Oh,
so
very
when he did it, so
nice.
what this AI did is he. Oh, now he's attacking us. He tractor pulled. Do we have
Oh,
cloak?
shit. Yes.
Hey, cloak. Thank you. Okay, now Spaz, keep firing on this guy. And now boost the weapons again.
Yeah, the beam laser's already boosted. I gotta repair the hull. I've been lax in my duties.
Yeah, put down the scotch and
Sorry, Captain.
the AI is it was actually very interesting, getting AI to fly around things in three dimensions is tricky. And they're much better now. These if you follow the AI around and watch them get around asteroids and get around like these space stations are pretty complicated things. I have put quite a bit of work. I mean, I did all of this coding to make it so the AI can fly, in three dimensions around objects, go above them and below them and around them or whatever,
But it can also
and
use its special abilities, it looks
yeah,
like.
so the AI, there's programming for the AI to, they'll modulate, if we scan them and discover their shield frequency, they'll modulate their shields. They can use their tractor beams, they can use these push force abilities. That guy at the very end spawned a turret. It's like a stationary drone.
That's what I
So
was wondering. I was going to ask what those are, those
yeah, so
DATs.
that's it stands for a drop a thing.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it says a drop a thing.
Yes, it does. It's a little inside joke for us, actually.
So there's also a lot of music references. I'm a musician, so there's a lot of music references. So you used to record on DAT machines.
Oh, right. Digital
So
audio tape.
yeah, digital audio tape. So
I remember
there's a
those
lot of
things.
musical terms hidden in Quintet, like the name is Quintet. So it's kind of that and the
Right.
alien races are actually different instruments from other countries,
Huh.
and the phase shift. The Udu have an ability called phase shift, which kind of makes them immune to science abilities like scanning and tractor beams and stuff like that. And phase shift is like a pedal, is an effects pedal called a phase shifter, right? So
Right.
there's a lot of these little secret music terms that are stuck in the game, whenever I could get away with it, So yeah, so DAT stands for drop a thing, and of course also stands for digital audio tape. So I got both. I got like you know I got like a silly quirky thing and a music thing in one hit,
What do you play? Because my girlfriend's a musician, so she's gonna wonder.
Actually, I play a lot of Middle Eastern music. I play a lot of music for belly dancers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. On this weekend, I'm actually going to be performing on a cruise ship. I will be in Florida also, performing on a cruise
What?
ship. Dancer. Yeah, it's a really sweet gig. So I play Middle Eastern music, a lot of Turkish music for belly dancers here in New York and all around the country. My wow. other life, other than making this video game, it's so bizarre, my other life is traveling around the country performing at festivals and playing music for belly dancers. That's my other life.
And I'm guessing you could still manage this game while you're on the road. You can still work on this.
Yeah, I've been working on my laptop, you know, and then plus it plays over the internet. You know, I can take out my iPhone in the middle of nowhere and I can play, you know, I can like be sitting somewhere having some tea and then like be like, oh, see who's playing quintet right now, and like open it up, you know, and see there are people playing. I can hop on a ship. You know, there are times I've hopped on people's ships and they don't even know I made the game. You know, I mean, I'll just hop on their ship, you know, play science or something, and I'm like, thanks, guys, you know, I made the game. Made the game, by the way, see you later, you know. And I can do that. I mean, that's what's kind of neat about it, you know.
And the population has been growing?
Yeah. The population's been growing. Our, you know, I have people sign up every day. We got some regulars happening. And like I said, our Monday night has been really super fun, and that's kind of like, you know, when we get the majority of people on. And I've also have Quintet coming up at some conventions. It'll be at RadCon. The guy who does the Project Quintet thing will be at RadCon, and then the we'll also be at Origins this year, which is I've never been there, so I'm kind of, it's so funny. I never even knew that they had these kind of things. Like, I'm like, wait, there's. I mean, I've been to Star Trek conventions like my, you know, for a couple of decades. You know,
right.
This is just recently I've gone to gaming conventions.
I know. Yeah, I've been to a couple now, and they're crazy things. I went to it last year. I went to a board gaming convention.
Yeah, Gen Con had like 50,000.
I believe it.
50,000. It's like a city. You know, like
it's a small city.
Yeah, I mean it's amazing. It's like I'm like, this is, I can't. I mean, it's I couldn't believe it. Like the whole weekend, I'm like, I can't. It's like I can't believe, it's like you stumbled on some grove of unicorns, like and you thought you were the last unicorn, and then you stumbled on a grove. You know, I'm like, there's this many people that are into something I'm into, all in one place. I'm like, this is amazing, you know. And the attitude, man, I don't know if you've ever been to Gen Con, man, everyone was so cool, you know, everyone, just the camaraderie of everyone, and just like everyone's attitude there is great. And man, when I was on the flight on the way back, there were other people on that same flight.
Right.
They were gaming at the airport. This is like on the way home. They were had their like trays pulled down on the plane, and they are gaming on their trays pulled down on the plane on the flight back. You know?
We're playing, I mean, this? Playing Quintet?
No, not playing Quintet, but you know, playing card games, board games, you know, role playing games, whatever, man. It was amazing.
I'm just saying
the attitude and the people are just great that I've encountered from, you know, going to these conventions and, you know, meeting people online, people like yourself and Eric, and it's been amazing, you know.
It sounds like one hell of a ride.
Yeah, it's a really great ride. It's great that people play my game, you know.
Now, I like how you have servers in Europe and Asia. Who handles those?
I use a service called Photon by Exit Games, and they make a sort of in the cloud service. So what they handle is the stuff like, so when you log in and create an account and all that, that's like my website. It's code I wrote myself for the, you know. So I've been doing websites since like the late 90s, you know.
Right.
And but the actual network stuff, where, like, you know, it sends your position and your rotation and that kind of stuff, that network layer of, like, you know, creating a room and having people join, that stuff is provided by this kind of cloud service. So what's really great, you know, you pay like a monthly fee, they have a great rate for indies, and this is like kind of what I say when I say, like, you know, that guy's $5 and $10, you know, helps pay for the service that I use there and helps pay for my website hosting and blah blah blah, you know. So I can, you know, technically I could have up to, you know, 100 or 200 people on, you know, at a time, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. We, you know, we have up to 25, and, you know, you can start to feel it a little bit when you have, you know, when you have 25, you know, but,
right.
You know, we've had more than that, but, you know, in one room at one time, you know, I could have, you know, 100 people. It depends. So that provides. So what's neat is recently that company put up an Australian server, you know, and so they put that up, and I'm like, oh, I have an Australian server now. So, you know, I went into my code, updated the screen to have the Australian server, so you can select the Australian server, and now I have an Australian server. You know, it's really great. You know, and that's the thing. Like, that's what's great also about like having with Unity is like, you know, you can build the game for, you know, PlayStation or Xbox or Wii, even if, you know, if you get the licenses and that kind of stuff, you know. So that's what's kind of neat about having, you know, choosing Unity to make the game in and choosing this service as, you know, to do the networking stuff.
You
know?
Can you build it for the Vita? Can you make it for the Vita?
You know, there's this person asked me about the Vita all the time. I got the Vita, and I have tried building it for the Vita, and it was a little more complicated than I thought. So I think I'm going to wait maybe till the next version of Unity comes out to try the Vita thing again. I was honestly just kidding.
No.
I'm totally serious. One player's been asking me about it a lot, and I'm like, oh, it's kind of neat because the screen is there. You could use the joysticks and fly. And the game now, way Quintet is now, if you have a joystick, I have this Hostess Flightmaster, Thrustmaster, you know, kind of joystick with a separate throttle and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can play the game if you fly a solo ship, you can play entirely without taking your hands off the joystick. You can
really?
Target. Yes, you can cycle through the targets. You can do all the rolling. You know, you can do the rolls and the pitching and yawing, everything. And you can set the thrust. So what's cool is on that joystick, you can set the thrust. So if I have the thruster 50% up on that joystick, like the thrust will be 50% up on the game. You know, so you can use the thrust. You can kind of set it and leave it where you want and stuff. Man, it's great. If you're into playing with a joystick, you will love doing this stuff with Quintet. And there's all these options to like adjust the dead zone on the joystick.
Yeah, I know. I was just looking at them.
Yep, and you can invert the y-axis, all that kind of stuff. Tons of stuff in there. You know, I have what do you call it? The other guy we were mentioning, this guy Dennis. This guy Teeth is his name. If you see him, Teeth. he's really into playing with his joystick. So I have little by little mapped things to the joystick, you know, so you can. So the other day, I, you know, did a mission. You know, I mean, once you get through the menu, you know, once the mission launches, you can like select targets, you know, turn, fly to them, do everything, use all the weapons and your abilities and stuff like that, and you're like pretty much good to go. You know, all with a joystick. It's really fun.
Well, why don't you launch another ship? I'll go on Helm because I just enabled all the joystick stuff, and I want to try this because okay. I've got my good old reliable Satech X45.
Oh, yeah, nice Satech.
Connected.
The Rolls Royce of flight sticks.
Though this thing is getting long in the tooth. I've had it for 7-8 years.
I think it's a tank, though.
It is, but it's starting to get a little squeaky and stuff, so if it dies, I'm probably going to go CH.
Probably. Okay, you know what? We'll do this one called the 25.
Okay.
It's us versus 25 drones. So it's like us versus 25 little ships. Maybe I'll bring out this Centaur. Okay.
Do you want me flying separately in a trio?
You know what? He's gonna fly. I'll take. Yeah, sure. Why not? Take another ship.
Okay. Will do.
Okay. Well, that looks right.
Is that working?
It doesn't seem to be responding to my throttle, though.
You have to go into the menu. You have to exit the game.
Oh.
And, watch here. Wait. This is gonna be. Let's exit for a second. So quit Quintet.
Okay.
And when all Unity games kind of have this, I mean, you have to do some programming for it, but if you double click the Open Quintet or whatever you do, there's a little button in the middle that says Input. I could probably watch your Twitch stream. It's probably delayed a little bit, but
it is delayed. Yeah, that is the problem. It is quite delayed. About 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. About 30 seconds. So quit Quintet.
Yeah, I did. Okay, I'm going to relaunch. Oh, input. I see.
So there. And then you can, like, kind of click or double-click on those, and then you can move it. It should say, like, joystick thrust, joystick whatever, blah, blah, blah.
One thing you can also do while you're in there is if you are using the keyboard, you can set the Fire 1 key as a secondary to, say, something like the B key. The reason I do that when I fly is because you can use the beam separately from the torpedoes. So your thumb naturally will be on the B key, and then you'll have the space bar right under it. So if you want to fire everything, you can. But if you only want to fire the beam and the torpedoes are out of range, then you can do that separately.
Oh, okay. All right, I am back. Let me just make sure. Controls, okay, everything's on. Okay, hopefully that'll do it this time. Let's try that again.
Okay. All right, cool. I'm glad we practiced and prepared for this podcast. Here we go.
Well, you know. Okay, I'm joining his helm.
Okay, cool.
It should work now. I'm pretty sure I set this correctly.
All right, we're rolling. We're rolling a lot. Okay, there we are. Okay. I'm going to go to tactical. Let's go after drone 9. Eric, are you going to...
Pixel, I am in.
Are you getting used to the... Did something not turn on right, or...
It's weird. Like, the throttle only seems to notice I go in reverse, but not forward.
Go to options.
Options.
And then go to controls.
Controls.
All right. So
I have to exit. There we go.
No.
I got it.
Okay. So you see, it says joystick thrust, button, or axis.
Yeah.
Is it set for axis?
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's set to axis, and set your joystick dead zone to 0, and you might want to set your roll dead zone to like 0.25.
Got it.
And yeah, joystick enable set to yes, and you have, okay. Try it again. Let's see what's going on here.
Wow, this is funny.
You might want to try in a solo ship by yourself, just getting your joystick happy.
Okay.
We're thrusting.
A little bit. It only seems to want to go up to 15%. It's very weird. Hang on. I gotta try this again.
Alright, you jumped out. Oh, jeez.
I did. Sorry.
That's all right. Hey, you just abandoned ship.
I did. I'm a terrible person. Okay, so I have the axes set correctly, and let's just make sure.
Make sure you don't accidentally have two things set for the same thing, like you have thrust and roll set both for the same joystick, you know? Look at joystick thrust, joystick whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's 0, 1, 3, 4, so...
Okay, those are your axes.
Yeah, they're different axes. Different axes. Different axes. Okay, let's see. The trials of setting up controls in Unity. That's what's up.
Yeah, it's like joystick horizontal, joystick vertical, joystick roll, joystick thrust. Okay.
Yeah, and... Yeah, everything looks fine in my little control panel here. This is fun.
Alright.
This is a good time. Oh, sheesh. Sorry. Ooh, whoops. I gotta start the game again. whoops.
We died. Hey, we died without you.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Thanks, bro.
I'm sorry, guys.
Podcast ends in death.
Sorry. Okay. I think I'll just go back to not using a joystick. Okay. Or maybe I'll try a solo real quick.
Is anyone watching a Twitch chat?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't been watching it. Okay.
Yeah, Borders.
All of a sudden, I was like, "Hey, we've been chatting for an hour," and I look at it like one.
No, that's a Borderspace game. Said, "Man, the trials of setting up controls in Unity."
Oh yeah, yeah.
He probably knows what we're talking about. So joystick enabled. What is joystick X Y W H?
Okay. So if you're using a tablet. There's an on-screen joystick, like one of those little circles. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So you can actually like reposition where it is.
Oh.
If it's like in the way, or if you have a weird resolution, You can like reposition where that is. The actual thing that's kind of nuts is the UI when you're in the game is all HTML and CSS. I used to use some. I recently moved all the AI, all the UI when you're in game to be. So you can literally change the UI when you're flying or playing or shooting, whatever. You can customize it. So like if you wanted to. I'm kind of hoping some player will take the time to make a LCARS looking interface for Quintet, which you can do with...
That would be pretty great.
You can do with just, you know, cutting and pasting in HTML and CSS. So if anyone out there in Space Game Junkie Land wants help with that, please don't be shy. Let me know.
Yeah, like it must not like my joystick.
Okay.
I'm just going to quit to the main menu. We'll try this again. Exit the main menu.
Oh, Spaz, you have a lot of guys after you.
Oh, like, do you guys need any station? Are you guys? I see.
Yeah,
you guys.
join my tactical, because like.
Okay, hang on. Let me turn off the joystick.
Oh, hello.
Tactical.
Ah, why am I getting shot by everything?
Oh gosh.
To start messing with some guys here. I'm gonna just tractor pull this guy right into us.
Oh!
Yeah. That's that's how we do things downtown. There we go. Okay, I'm repairing
it
all. I'm like jumping around a lot of stations here.
Do you have multiple copies of the game going?
Me, I just have one. I have it inside Unity right now. Keep firing. I'm going to fly. So what's nice about this is I can kind of fly around this guy, and you can kind of keep shooting at him with the beam, not the torpedo, once you get your areas. Keep firing. There we go. Some of these ships have turrets on them too, so I don't know if you played any of those ships. The Duet and the Quartet has it's almost like a space tank, you know. It's got a little turret, and you can turn the turret using the WASD keys and point it up and down and stuff like that. One left.
Dang it.
Do you have any other questions or random?
Whoa! What just happened?
There was other people playing. The Spaz killed it.
I basically eliminated everything when you guys were dealing with the technical issues.
Let's look at the I want to look at the open world thing. I want to understand this part.
I'm going to be terrible at explaining it. Well, there's two things. There's open space and there's Project Quintet.
Okay, well, yeah, the open space thing in here.
Okay, so if we go to open space, for instance, so let's make, you know, if we each make, let's make a solo ship and be on the same race.
Okay.
So I will make, maybe we'll all be, let's be humans, okay? Go into open space.
Okay. And... open space. Oh, so you can connect to Project Quintet from here.
Right. So there's two things. There's open space, which is something I made that we can just fly around and warp between different sectors. Okay. And there's other bad guys and stuff. So instead of us like constantly doing like, you know, going to the menu, and then Project Quintet, like I said, was made by this other player where it's like you can create a character and create a ship and customize a ship and stuff like that.
Right. Okay.
You should chat with the guy who made it. It's very interesting.
I will take a look at that. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so I see both of you guys.
Are you the HMS Stillness or Stilliness or what is
Stillness? Stilliness. Yes.
Okay. So this is human homeworld. So the way this works is humans are actually neutral, but the other races fight each other. So the Devul, like the yellow and red, will fight each other, and the blue and green will fight each other, and the humans are kind of neutral. But if you look, there's this captain's console in the top right.
Yeah.
Open. and we can warp somewhere. So we can warp, for instance, to B4. So we click open to open the console, click B4 to choose a spot, and then we can warp there.
Okay.
And basically, if we're an enemy to the race that we land in, they will start attacking us. Some of these races will creep us, where they won't attack us, but they'll kind of scan us and get everything ready. you know, if we attack them, then they'll all come attack us, and there's, like, some different kind of rules and stuff like that. So this is an area for the Dvul. This is their little kind of fun area here. So, for instance, if I was like, hey, let's attack these guys.
Okay.
And some of these, like, ships are randomized. So they... the ships will be randomized based on like how many points each ship is, you know, like the amount of solos or duets will kind of be randomized based on something.
Right.
So, for instance, this ship is just kind of... I'm going to attack this ship here.
Which one are you attacking?
I'm attacking the Vol 1 Mark 924.
That's the one I'm going for. Oh, whoa, oh. What the hell? A bunch of hive ships.
Okay, so what happens while we're here is... instead of us choosing missions, other ships will just spawn in. So the Hive is like the Borg. You know, they're like everyone's bad. They're like everyone's bad guy. You should use Cloak, by the way, if you haven't used it yet. So if the Hive spawn in, you know, if they warp in, then usually something might break off from you, and because the Hive are considered a worse threat, so they'll go after the Hive automatically. So at this moment, these bad guys are going after these Hive ships that have warped in. This is pretty cool if you think about it. There's like three of us playing from, you know, from three different locations right now, and there are, you know, there's four neutral, you know, there's some neutral AI ships, and then there's some bad guy Hive ships have warped in, you know. So there's our three ships plus, you know, the other four or five or six ships that are in here, and they're all like, you know, they're fighting each other. Like, we can just sit and watch this right now and just let these guys attack each other. We can give them a hand. I would give them a hand if I was, you know, getting these big ships here.
Yeah, I'm definitely giving them a hand.
Yeah. So
Oh, that's pretty great. Yeah, all these ships are attacking this Hive fella here. Oh, yeah, there he goes.
So now everything is cool. Everyone's chilling out. Nothing weird's going on.
Cool.
Everyone's happy. If we warp to the center, which is Hive Homeworld.
I thought you were going to suggest that.
Yeah. We'll get totally destroyed, but we should let it be fun. So
weird,
for instance,
why can't I click the... Oh, I can't click the... That's a weird feedback thing. There it goes.
Okay,
so C2?
Yeah, if you warp to C2.
Yeah.
If you warp to C2, so this was kind of actually designed by actually Spasticus. Everybody, Eric here designed this, and it's really, really hard. There's like tons of ships here. There's like 25 ships here or something like that. There's these giant turrets. I just got annihilated. We should not be here in solos. We should really come here in big ships. So this little center area has like just a mess of bad guys in it, and it's meant to like kind of have a bunch of us in different ships flying here and all fight together.
Yeah, normally you need a fleet of about three or four ships just to get through it. I've actually gone through it solo in just a trio, just me, and still won the scenario, but then again, I designed it.
Yeah, so what's really cool about this stuff is you know, we can play all together on one ship. You know, we can play in solos and do battle royal.
Right.
You know, we can do capture the flag. I have a King of the Hill type of thing called King of the Polyhedron. We have missions like this where we need, you know, five players on three ships. You know, so we technically have maybe three ships, but there's 15 players. Plus there's 25 bad guys, you know? So we can have some pretty epic epic, you know, stuff going on, you know. We're not going to really survive here. We should go somewhere else.
For some reason, I can't jump to where you guys are.
You might need to jump and then jump again.
I can't even open the console. Just some weirdness going on.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna jump back to where you are. Cool.
Anyway, yeah. So I definitely get. So what do we do with this Project Quintet thing? Can we jump in that?
You might need to go to the website to make a ship first.
Okay, hang on. Have you guys done that already?
I have a test ship on there that's like all craziness. I don't even. It's got all types of weird stuff on it. So my ship on there is always like in flux, because I'm always testing things.
I can't seem to log in. I don't remember my password. Very weird.
Cool.
Hang on.
Cool. Do you have any other Quintet stuff you're curious about? Oh, there's like also tons of features in Quintet where, you know, it can like if you have DMX lights, or I have Philips Hue lights. You know those like lights you can control with your iPhone or Android or whatever?
Really?
Yeah. So you can actually have it controlling DMX lights as well as the Philips Hue lights, which is pretty cool. I mentioned the making your own custom scenarios, and that you can totally customize the UI using HTML and CSS. There's a ton of stuff in this game that gets put in and added all the time.
Sounds like... Oh, I was using the wrong email address. There we go. I want to try this thing if I can log into it. God damn it, how do I log into it? My account is upgraded, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so my username is... Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'll try this another time, I think.
All right, cool.
I can't log in. I don't know why. Anyway, yeah. So,
cool.
I think that gives everyone a good run. I'm getting really tired too. I'm sorry. but yeah, no, guys. I want to thank you for joining this weird just me pod. This is the first time we've done a podcast with just me. I'm not sure I like it. I'm not sure I like it very much. Jim, we missed you. We missed you, Jim.
In my opinion, it's better with Jim here.
This whole podcast was his idea. I mean, we probably wouldn't have had the podcast without him. Folks, I want to thank you for joining us. And coming up next week, we're going to be talking Homeworld Cataclysm. And if you have any questions or suggestions or whatever, don't forget to hit us up at hail@spacegamejunkie.com. And if you like what you hear, I'm just going to pimp myself a little bit. Throw me a dollar on Patreon. I launched a Patreon campaign, so throw me a buck. I'll pay for hosting
record,
and stuff.
I was your second backer on Patreon.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Oh, fuck. Now Jim is calling. Hey, it's too late.
Hey, Brian. Brian?
Yeah.
It's also super cool that you support space games and indie... You know, indie types. You know what I mean?
Oh, God,
it's
yeah.
Really, you know, it's like, I feel like we need more space games. You know? You know, like, it's I made a space game because I feel like, you know, there was already enough, you know, swords and elves and wizards and things, which I love swords and elves and wizards.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know? But, like, you know, I played Wing Commander, you know, the first one, right. Killing space cats or whatever, you know, and, it's cool that, you know, it's nice that you're helping us indies out. You know,
I'm happy to do it.
Yeah,
should we make the big announcement?
Oh yeah. So we want to announce. I was saving it. We're gonna launch on Steam. So you heard it first here.
Whoa.
On Space Game Drinking Podcast. I saved it for Woo! You. So we're gonna announce on Steam in the beginning of March. So.
Oh my God!
I will push the shiny make it so button, as they say. So it'll be sometime beginning of March. I don't know the exact date, but
congratulations!
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I got greenlit a while
December
ago.
December 29th.
That's right. That's right.
Christmas gift. And so those out in space.
Now, how is that going to work on Steam? Is it going to be free to play, and you still have an option to upgrade, or is it going to be a $5?
So it'll be the same thing. So. It's to, you know, it'll be free, and then I can actually, so for Quintet, you like, when you purchase it, you get like a code. So I can actually take like a batch of codes and put them in Steam, so that when you pay with Steam, you'll get one of those codes. You know, and you should be able to use the codes every day. You know, so I basically like will make like 1,000, 10,000 codes and put them in Steam. You'd be like, here, you know, and then whenever you do the purchase, it should give you that code. And this, and they have that, you know, for people who have, you know, CD key, like CD key systems, you know, from back in the day, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think that's how it will all work out.
That is, oh, that's I'm right, yeah, because that thing that thing will pop up. You need this key to play this game. Blah blah.
So I will have it as a free thing, just like I have, and then I will do some munging with their key system thingy to make it so you get the key. And then that's what I want to do. You know, like I said, I don't want, you know, I want, like myself, I want to be treated like, you know, I want, you know, treat other gamers as you would treat your gamer yourself, you know. So, you know, right. I want people to be, you know, $5 one time is great. I'm glad I entertained you enough for your $5. That's awesome, you know. And I want it to be fair and stuff like that. So my goal is to set it up on Steam just like that, free, and then either it will be like a DLC or something that will be $5 and give you a key, and then you're unlocked. You don't need to go to the App Store and unlock it, or go to the thing and unlock it. It will just, it's for your account, and you're good. You know,
that $25 purchase is the trio purchase. That unlocks all 5 trio ships for your account. Yeah. And it also counts as an upgraded code. So if you haven't upgraded yet and you want to support the game, you really want to support us, and you buy a trio code, then that counts as buying the $5 upgrade too.
Yeah, so there's two things. There's like a $5 thing, and then there's basically, I had this Kickstarter thing, but a lot of people wanted it, so it just cost. So the Kickstarter was cheaper, you know, that's a little more. So there's this other upgrade you can get, which gives you these other ships and stuff like that. So it's kind of like showing, if you're like, I really want to support this guy because he's a hardworking indie game dude, you know, then that you can get that thing, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is cool, and like people do it, which is great. And I think, you know, a lot of people do it out of just being like, which is awesome. You know, it feels great that people, you know, people from other countries are like, hey man, nice game. Here's your $5, $25, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. You know.
Oh,
and you can buy these codes for the people. So you can actually buy a batch of like 5 codes, and then you could use one yourself and then give them to your friends so that they can upgrade their ships and stuff like that, you know.
Oh, God. Okay, Jim's here. Do you want to bring him on to say hello?
Sure.
Sure.
Hang on, you son of a bitch. Come on. Oh, he just said y'all come on if you had me. And I said, oh, no, we're about a minute to wrap up, but we're still going. So, how was Disneyland, fucker?
Well, you know, mice. There's like, you know, Mickey Mouse and stuff. There's no Tron stuff here.
Very, no Tron. Is there Tron stuff in Disney World? I mean, land?
I think there was at some point, but
maybe when the movie came out.
Yeah, but I think they hid it. You know, it's like they're, it's the redheaded stepchild that they're embarrassed of.
So, Jim, we're talking to Carmine and Eric.
Yeah, so I'm kind of late. Can you guys start over?
No, we're about to wrap up. But they just hit us with the announcement that this game is coming to Steam.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see the big Steam change today?
No, what? What Steam change?
Oh, so Steam changed the rules where people were. Previously, they were able to give away a game.
And, oh, I told you about that. I put the link on your wall.
Maybe it was you. Okay.
But yeah, they're not doing that codes for votes thing anymore. Well, they're not banning people for it, but they're specifically suggesting "quote unquote" against it. So that's good.
Right, because they're gonna.
What is codes against?
Oh, Carmine, if you hadn't heard, this is kind of a pet peeve of Jim's, and should have been of anyone's, but, you know, Jim, you brought it up quite a bit. Apparently, there were these developers that were saying, if you vote for us on Greenlight, we will give you a code for our game. So they were basically paying people off to vote for them on Greenlight.
Oh, that's really interesting.
And Steam said today, don't do that.
Well, they had said before, don't do that, but this time they said, no, really, don't.
Really don't do that. So
yeah, really, stop, really stop again.
Yeah. Exactly, stop.
Well, I mean, you know,
Steam, nice.
I mean, Steam is like 80% of PC game sales now, no?
Is it?
Of the digital game market? Yeah, around
of
there.
I believe it.
You know, yeah, I mean, so it's like, if getting on, I mean, for me, it was like, it was kind of frustrating for myself to have it take so long, you know, to get on the to green light, you know.
So here's the thing I was wondering. You know how, like, if you want to have a successful Twitter, right, it's like it takes followers to get followers kind of thing. Yeah. So you can go buy, like, a Chinese bot farm that'll give you, like, 5,000 followers overnight. And then I saw that they're doing the same thing for Twitch now, where you can hire a bunch of bots, right? And I wonder if you can buy Steam Greenlight bots, you know?
You know what, though?
A Chinese click farm that goes in there and clicks
them. You know, I think in order to vote, you have to have at least purchased one game.
Right, like, but you wait until, Alpha Xylon's on sale for 49 cents.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess if somebody wanted to. Because, I mean, you probably need just... I mean, you need just a bunch... You need, like, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 votes, let's say, you know, to get through Greenlight, you know?
Well, if you look at the stats, right?
Yeah.
This is a thing that that we're finding with the game that I'm helping with, which, actually, that's why I'm in Florida.
I figured. I'm here
doing this, and... But what we're finding with this game is that 90% of all
what
of our...
What is that? What is that? Did you hear that? It must be coming from you. You've got this weird mic thing going on.
Well, anyway, 95% of our votes happened in the first 3 days.
I had the same thing. I had this spike in the first bunch of days, and I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna be green lit in like a week, you know, and then it just went like way down, you know.
I think the deal is when you're on the front page, people see it, and then if not, then it's, you know, whatever. And I got a nice spike. I registered on IndieDB the other day.
Yeah.
I got a little mini spike out of that.
I had the same thing, and I ended up to help get myself some more spikes. I started making it so that, you know, whenever someone, you know, signed up for my game and I sent them the thank you for signing up email, you know, I send them like, hey, if you're on Steam, vote for us, you know. And I went to my Facebook, you know, so I made sure, like, I had a couple more opportunities. I mean, not like offensively, you know, but, you know, someone signs up and I'm like, thank you for signing up. Hey, by the way, I'm on Steam, you know.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like, when I did my Monday nights and we got all together to do these battles, I'm like, hey, if you guys are on Steam, you know, and I went to, like, my Facebook. I mean, I wasn't, like, being ridiculous about it, but it's like you're going to get, like, 3 people a day unless you need to do little bits, you know, little bits here and there to get little pushes, you know, of 10 people, 20 people, you know.
Right, and I think what's going on now is, since we're almost done, I mean, it's like we're gonna do probably 10 hours of straight QA tomorrow. And what's been going on is, like, I'll do QA stuff, and then I get the build in the evening, and I'll beat up on it for a few hours, and then I got a bug list, and I send it to the coder the next day, and then he fixes them, and then that evening, right? So I'm killing 3 to 5 bugs a day.
Yeah.
But if I'm sitting right at the same desk as the guy, we can just whip bugs all day.
Yeah.
Zero turnaround. So that's what I'm hoping. We'll probably get the majority of the kinks out hopefully tomorrow, and then maybe, like, another week of balance, and then we kick this thing out the door. Maybe at latest March 1st. So what I want to do with that is actually, because of the spike, and we've only got it's like 4,000 yes votes or something. What's really wild, though, is the ratio of yes to no, even though they don't count no votes, but it's like 64% no.
Yeah, I mean, mine,
it was with us too.
Yeah, we had almost the same. You know what's kind of my pet peeve is that the question says, would you buy this if it was on Steam? And I wish it said something like, do you think this game belongs on Steam? You
right,
know?
Exactly.
Because to me, you know, I wouldn't purchase Call of Duty. It doesn't mean, like, I don't think that game should be in the story. you feel that it's
up to the standards of
like this game like is not a POS, you know what I mean, I think if someone might see my game, like, would you purchase this game? They might be like, no, I hate space games, you know, and then be like, no, but that doesn't mean like I didn't spend time and effort making this game.
At the time we were greenlit.
It's like, yeah, we had 57%, 58% say no,
About 57%. And we were, our actual vote was about 3,200 votes total that were yes votes. And we were at 80% of the way to the top 100. So we were pretty close.
We were pretty close. But we were in there. We were in, the note was, though, the other part was I was in there for a bunch of months. So eventually people get out of your way, you know, who are – so it's possible that I got greenlit with less votes than you, but it's because there are people who are in the way of you.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know what makes me crazy, though, is whenever you see something like Tree Simulator, you know, and it just, like, races. You see – because I've been watching greenlightupdates.com, and there was a rash of stuff in the last couple weeks that's been getting greenlit in under a week.
You know, what was really weird is for a while they were doing about 50 games every 15 days, you know? And then if you go to the greenlight page and you look at the comments or blog or whatever it is, little comments thing, it's like it just stops at the end of August. Like, it was every 15 days.
And well, they quit tracking there, but now – if you look at greenlightupdates.com, you can see, like, in real time who got greenlit, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Within 24 hours, they update. And so what goes on there is, I've been doing numbers on it, right? I every day I go in there and I download them, do an Excel spreadsheet, and I calculate, like, how many days was it on Steam, how many, you know, what's the average this week of how old the game was, you know, for everybody that got greenlit. I do a little bit of data mining on it, but I have seen a trend. Well, you know, one thing that I have seen, we had a theory that if you were in a bundle, you know, like those, like, we're not
greenlit
yet, but we're a bundle, you know, build a green light bundle kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe those help. Not when I did the actual math. It's like maybe a percentage different. It's completely negligible. Yeah, so what I'm seeing, though, is like, gosh, we got like 2,500 votes or something now, maybe more. So it's almost like it could happen or not. I don't know. But that spike that we had, it's almost like, man, if I could get that spike again, but instead of being an unknown quantity, now we're actually, you know, it's not like alpha screenshots. It's like, this is the done game. It is feature complete, you know, version 1.0, ready to buy. This is not early access. This is not a gamble, right? This is real.
You know, on our Greenlight page, we had to keep reminding people that the game is out.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
you know, like,
now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Eric here did it all the time. Spasticus here, you know, did it all the time because people would be like, "Oh, I'd love to try it when it's out." It's like, my friend, it is out. I'm just trying to get on Steam. You know, it's playable. It exists. It's up. It's running. We had to kind of keep letting people know that, like you said, like, you're not gambling on something. This is a real life, living, breathing thing. You know.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I'm looking at is now, like, I got, you know, 2,500 votes or whatever, whenever it first launched, right, back in September. Now that it's actually a complete project. Because they always give you the option, you can relaunch the Kickstarter at any time, but it sets your counter to zero. But it brings you back to the top of the front page again.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if second time around it would garner way more yes votes because there's been some exposure, there's been positive previews. We haven't had a negative preview at all. You know, everybody seemed in the press seemed pretty enthused. The people in the press I could get to talk to us. Which has been way harder than I thought it was going to be. Our next step, have you guys passed it out to any YouTubers at all?
I've had different people do Let's Plays here and there, and I've had some random YouTubers, you know, pick up on it I don't think I've had anyone like famous. I've actually the this girl named Kiwo, who has a Twitch stream, and she is really really popular, and she has actually brought in a ton of people into my game.
Oh, cool.
Because of her discovering the game, which I'm not even sure how she found out about it, but what might help you? I mean, maybe you might even want to find people who Twitch stream something in the same genre,
right? Which is tough. You know, this is a tycoon mixed with a 4X game, right. So it's kind of and the combat is card based.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, people ask you to describe the game, and I can't say, oh, it's like this game, but with this other thing, you know, it makes it tough. So it's not like a 10-second elevator pitch.
It's a tycoon game.
Yeah, it's a tycoon business trade simulation thing, and then you're actually expanding out to different colonies, and it's basically imports and exports. And then you take the money from that and you buy military units
It's kind of like if Garrick from Deep Space Nine created Freelancer. Is that
exactly.
Just say that. I give that to you for free.
You know, it would be like if we had tailoring in the game, then we could tie it directly to Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, yeah. You're also a tailor.
Right. We could call it space suit.
All right, let's wrap this up.
All right, awesome.
But anyway, so that I just, in summary, that change today, very positive, and I'm very happy to see it. We did a little dance, and I'm happy that Steam is finally going to get that shenanigan out. So, that's and your awesome. Guys' game looks pretty darn good. By the way, pro tip. I stopped in to visit the folks at the Escapist last week, and 'cause I live like right down the street, right? And I stopped in there, and they have arranged the desks like in a horseshoe shape, and there's a big projection screen in the front. And I asked Archon, I was like, you know, what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm trying to find some people. We want to play Artemis, and we got it set up for that. And he's like all into trying to find some people to play that. So, pro tip: send a copy of this over there.
I wouldn't even know who to send it to.
Why
don't you offline? Drop me an email or whatever, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. So, but he's the CEO over there. So.
He's
enthused about this kind of game in particular. So.
Cool. Yeah. Fun.
Good to bring it back. Thank you for bringing it back, Jim. Appreciate that. We went a little off the rails. Thank you for bringing it back. Thank you guys again for joining us. Thank you everyone for watching.
You guys should definitely join us on a Monday night. So I'll be not here next Monday night, but after that Monday night next week, early March, whatever, you should definitely
hit
us up on a Monday night.
I will join when I can. Now that I see just how much fun this game is, I'm really glad I finally got a chance to play it with people.
Since I wasn't here, and I'll have to go back and watch, you know, what you guys did before. But as far as the friendliness of playing this game remotely, right? Because the problem with Artemis is you're trying to get enough people in the same room.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
drop out.
Yeah. Server I was explaining is you can play on the LAN or the internet, and I use a gaming service in the cloud that handles some of the multiplayer rooms and stuff like that. So they have servers in America and Europe and Japan and Australia and other places. So you can just open the game and hop on and play. So we
like ship in progress.
Yeah, you can just join other people's ships. And like I said, we played the other day. We played that this Twitch streamer was streaming it. And we had between 25 and 30-something people, like up to 37 people on at a time. And then we had, you know, those people across 12 ships. You know, at one point we had 18 player ships, you know.
Oh, very cool.
So we had up to 12 ships, and everyone is playing over the internet. Nobody was in the same room, you know. and everything was fine. And I'm asking people, and we're playing on Europe server, and you know, on servers in Europe or servers here, and I'm asking, I'm like, is everyone's lag okay? You know, and people were totally fine. You know, if you're Twitch streaming and Skyping and everything, it's gonna get a little, your internet's gonna get a little funny, but you know, in the end, you know, that's what's great. You can really hop on. You know, we use TeamSpeak. We have a TeamSpeak server set up. And we use TeamSpeak. We set up different channels for different ships. And, you know, we're all talking and screaming at each other and doing all this kind of stuff back and forth. But it is really fun and kind of crazy in an awesome way when you have five ships, you know, seven, eight, nine player ships all trying to coordinate with each other and work together and stuff like that. And each of those ships has three people, four people, five people, two people, a single player here and there. That is some really awesome, crazy stuff. You totally have to be a part of it. Sometimes.
Yeah, I'll definitely. Yeah. The thing really nice is to be able to drop in, because there's games that I play where it's like you have to have a pre-made group before you get in. Well, being able to drop in is like, hey, I can get in and meet people, and then I have a group. So
yeah, if you I mean, there's people playing, like, as we were playing, some random guy joined us while we were we're still doing the podcast technically, right? So, but in the middle of us playing earlier, you know, some random players who saw us on the stream or were watching, you know, hopped on, made their own ship, and were playing with us. You know, we didn't have to, like, set up a whole thing with them. You know, they just hopped, you know, they created a ship and hopped in our mission in progress.
Oh, neat.
You know, and fought with us, and then we split, you know. So you can just hop in and hop out, you know, which is great.
Awesome. So
the game is very friendly for that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Brian's told you, but I put a TeamSpeak server up too, and on Thursday nights we're playing X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Oh yeah.
So if you want to drop in.
Do you do the same games every time, or do you switch it up?
Well, we're going through the campaign.
Yeah, far it's been X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, because we're kind of rediscovering how amazing that game is nearly 20 years later.
So, but I think, you know, once we get burnout on it, it might turn into a standing Thursday night, you know, hot date for everybody. Because we got, like, what, six people now?
Yeah, so. Yeah,
I mean, if you, if that keeps happening, we can hop. I mean, what's cool is, like I said, since we're all on the internet, like myself, Brian, and Spastic is here, and we can get a couple other people, we can have two five-player ships playing together and all be on different locations. Or more.
Yeah.
And be in different locations, and all we can play quintet together and stuff, which would be great.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and if you want to pick up X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, you can come join us too.
I gotta go to GOG, I guess, and start shopping.
Yeah, totally. They'll sell it even to you. It'll be
well, awesome. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Third time's a charm. Good night, everyone. I'm just cutting this thing out. Bye.
Bye. Good night, guys.